This is Pastor Darrell Bailey. We want to welcome you to come in to be with us at our church and listen to our wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, we're going to be taking the Word of God and sharing it with you. Please come and visit us and be with us. We're located, People's Valley Baptist Church, at 68 Lefford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. May God bless you as our prayers as we get ready to go into the wonderful Word of God.
Thank you for tuning us in to our Sunday night message. I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey, as we normally would be in the book of Ezekiel, a new heart, new spirit. Tonight I'll be preaching a message out of the book of Proverbs. Take your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 down to verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 down to verse 19. Tonight we're going to be talking about the three weaponries for killing sin. The three weaponries for killing sin. And so this is November the 20th, 2022, amen. I'm glad that each and every one of us, when we look and realize that all of us have weapons of our warfare. Weapons. We've got the pistol of prayer. Amen. You know, we've got to be able to have the weapon of God fully loaded and not be afraid to use it. But the most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. God's Word is a sword. God's Word is our primary weapon. Amen. And so God's Word is listed in the battle of armor in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 13 through 18, amen. And as Christians, we're at war against the devil and his evils. And our given, God-given offensive weapon never grows dull, praise God, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, amen. Our warfare prayers drive out any evil spirit that we have. And so the three weaponries for killing sin is what we're going to talk about tonight. If you've turned over to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Let's honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. The Bible says, "These six words do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Verse 18, "And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief." Verse 19, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Here we see the three weaponries for killing sin in the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, as we go forward, Boyd Bailey said that the Lord's holy weapons are lethal and through prayer all work together to resist evil strategies. And so I'm glad that many of us, as we look and realize in our life today, that all of us, we feel like failures sometimes when we go up against Satan. And so he's always coming at us from different directions, amen. But I'm glad that as we learn our lessons tonight, that shows us the keys to walking free from any sin that we face in this daily walks of life. And as I know that you don't know the power of this sin, how long it's held somebody captive. You may have something that's held you captive, a sin, for a long time, and you've not been able to defeat it. Well, I want to tell you three weaponries for killing sin tonight, amen. No sin can stay standing when it's faced with God's truth and power for walking free. Nothing can. So I'm glad that many times our prayers go nowhere. And so many Christians, they lose the struggle against pornography, materialism, and other things. It's sad and it's hard to admit that many Christians are getting killed by the very things that we claim to hate. And it's tough to hear a message like this, but the weight of this truth will make you stronger if you'll let it. Have you ever felt like your prayers went nowhere? Whether you've thought it or not, your sin can cause God to freeze you out. Any healthy parent knows how this works, because you know what? Sometimes we have to freeze the accounts of our children that still depend on us for finances. Sometimes we've got to discipline our children when we don't want to. And so it's sad that parents have to do these things, but it is a type of love God loves every one of us enough that He wants to get your attention through His silence. Never does God want you to be freaked out over your sin. Sin happens and it needs to be confessed and moved on from. Don't let it no longer keep you held captive. Amen. And so if you've brought your struggle into the light and you're engaged with God for some type of resolution and you're never rejected or frozen out, but God does care enough that He will lock up your prayer life. He will freeze up your account, is so to speak, amen. Just like someone that had control over your assets or your bank account, amen. And so God wants to get your attention. God is jealous for you to encounter His best. And He wants to let you not have to settle for less in this old wicked world. And so God's love compels us. And when it does, He goes silent sometimes. And He doesn't hear us. He's unwilling to leave us, though, stunted in our growth. Our prayers go nowhere when God wants us to thrive. And so are you in a hollow place like that tonight? Consider the Scriptures and how that they speak to God's love, amen. And so how they relate to the sin that's in your life. You've got to hold on to the truth and not look away. Freedom isn't just down the road a bit. When you resist the truth, Proverbs 28:9 says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And so your prayers can go silent. Praying a self-focused prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly. And you basically spend it on your own passions. And many of us, like husbands, that we treat our wives poorly. God can deal with a husband or vice versa, a wife, because we've done such things. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And so every one of us are going to be going through some things like that in our life, amen. And we got to, sometimes you got people out there that's practicing an empty religion. Why have we fasted and you don't see anything from it? Why have we humbled ourselves and we take no knowledge from it? But in the days of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and you oppress all the workers. And behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make you a voice to be heard on high. And I'm going to tell you, read about that sometime over in Isaiah 58, verses 3 and 4, because some people have just an empty religion. They try to go through all of the motions to get God to listen to them, when all they need to do is they need to confess their sins before God. Some of you are hiding your sin. Psalm 66, verses 18 through 19, cherish the iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not listen to you. Truly, God listens, but He can't hear your voice of prayer because you have iniquity in your heart. So when you feel the actual weight of sin and you're ready to deal with your sin tonight, church, sometimes that lack of joy and passion for fellowship with other Christians and other folks can be attributed to the sin that hasn't been dealt with. And so you've got to know this for sure, because God is going to freeze out your account. And I mean, He's trying to get your attention. God loves you so much that He wants you to do the right thing. Amen. And so each and every one of us, when we look, hating sin helps us deal a blow to the corruption that's in our own lives. Think about that sin that you tried to manage. That's impossible, isn't it? Instead of winking at it, instead of ignoring that sin or having to deal with it in a manner that you cannot get control of it. We don't like holding on to what we hate, and so we give it a go and we hate it away, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that you've got to learn how to do is you've got to learn how to kill that sin. What would it be like for you to beat sin? To get a win over that one area of your life that keeps holding every part of you down in your Christian walk? I know that you've got moments of deep personal resolve and confidence that sounds like, you know what, I'm going to beat this sin this time. But it comes right back every time, sometimes with more force than it's ever done before. And so every one of us, there's never a time that all of us are going through a battle where someone is trying, but God's Word indicates that dealing with sin is like a bloody battle, something that has to die. In Colossians 3:5, you got to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. that sexual immorality, that impurity, that passion, that evil desire, that covetousness, which is idolatry, amen. And so you've got to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions, is what Romans chapter 6, when Paul tells us about it. And so Mark says that if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than for you to have 2 feet that'll be thrown into hell. And if your eyes cause you to sin, tear it out. You know, Paul said, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so killing sin could be the most neglected resolution of all of those 7 things that we read about in Proverbs chapter 6. Killing sin is our calling. And this is the very real battle that saturates Scripture, because we got to quit playing with sin in our lives. There's a high-stake games of spiritual table tennis going on. Satan's serving up sin on a steady basis to everyone across the country. And add to that, our heart is easily deceived into thinking that we're winning and we're trying to manage things that are hurting us, and we've got a royal battle that's on our hands. It's more than a game. Someone's always going to get hurt. Don't let it be you tonight, church. If you feel like you're on the losing end of sin, shame has you hiding out in the basement of life. Know that God sees, know that God cares, and know that God has a plan for you to win the battle, the power to pull it off. And so, tonight, the 3 weaponries for killing sin that we look at tonight. Number 1, expose it. Number 2, attack it. And number 3, overwhelm it. Bring to mind the ugliest sins that have a hold on you right now tonight. Look at those nasty things in the face and own how much power they have wielded in your life. Let God set you free from that addiction of alcohol and tobacco. And He kills sin in your life today in the same fashion. And I say, bring your worst. If you're not hedging on the dark sins and familiar sins and lifelong sins that are going on in your life, bring every one of them, all your evil thoughts, all your sexual immorality, all your stealing and murder and adultery, coveting and pornography, alcohol, prescription drugs, pot, a deception, sensuality, racism, envy, slander, food, spiritual pride, gossip, bitterness, rudeness, boastfulness, and all of the things that try to battle at you. Bring these 3 weaponries for killing sin. But I want to tell you, as we look at these painful sins tonight, these 3 weaponries for killing sin, we can wield them with a spiritual enthusiasm that we're confident that the sin that has you by the throat tonight will be under God's foot tomorrow. Hallelujah. And so we start out with those 3 weaponries for killing sin. Number 1, expose it. These 6 things do the Lord hate. He said, yea, 7 are the abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You've got to be able to expose it. Bring it into the light of truth by confessing it to God and friends. And when you bring sin into the light of truth, these 3 powerful things begin to happen. Number 1, the cleansing process begins, and it's thorough. Number 2, you realize that you're not alone, you're not only by yourself. Number 3, you live in an authentic community, and you're free from the shame and the isolation. Look at the powerful effect of the confession of sin. Exposing it gives us a new connection with God and His people. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John chapter 1. So we've got to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, according to James chapter 5. We expose our sin to God and others. That's the first step of victory to getting over sin with the 3 weaponries of killing sin, praise God. The 4th resolution our friends and how that we find them is we find trusted friends who can shoulder that sin that you're battling and that vitality, and they are encouragers. They're not ones that are negative. But there's somebody that wants to encourage you. to battle that sin and to expose it and to get rid of that proud look, to get rid of that lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run into mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Those are the things that we expose our sin to God. Amen. You need a good friend that you can rely on that will hold you accountable. Amen. You can take a small step right now tonight in just a few words, tell God what sin or sins have a grip on you. He knows already, but authentically, faith is something that's relational, and your proximity to God will be tighter as the result of your coming clean with Him here tonight, that you can expose that sin. There's no need to hang your head. I tell you, people, you can pray with your head lifted high when you expose that sin, and you can trust the Lord. There's something powerful about the symbolism of looking to God rather than hanging your head down. Remember, your resolution to think right is best applied by killing sin. You've never more been loved by the Lord. Nothing can separate you from His love. Hallelujah. Period. Nothing can. And so the first thing of the three weaponries for killing sin is you need to expose that thing. Secondly, you need to attack it. These six things, as he said about that the Lord hath, that he talks about the proud look, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You need to take some extreme measures to put to death whatever sins are killing you tonight. This is where blood needs to be spilled. But I tell you, John Piper explains that there's only one way to prepare for battle. Until you believe that life is war, that the stakes are your soul, you're going to probably just play at Christianity with no blood earnestness and no vigilance and no passion and no wartime mindset. But this is war. And Jesus got a graphic in defining it. He said, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, because it's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, to tear it out and throw it away, it's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is not being literal. He's using a hyperpole to make a crucial point about attacking sin at the source that's necessary. Killing sin might not be a common topic in conversation, but it needs to be. We discuss sin and find accountability for sin. We get counseling for sin. We deal with sin in ways that end up leaving the sin intact and us in pieces. Exploring and being held accountable, or even getting counsel around you, is one of the best, greatest things that you can do. But all of this needs to come to the why in the road of deciding to put sin to death and finding a strategy for how to do it. And so, you expose it, but you attack it. This isn't as tough as you may think. I want to give you an example of how I help men who are honest about their struggle with pornography. Over the many years, the past years as a pastor, I've held men and friends accountable for pornography, mostly from other churches. You know why? People are ashamed of themselves. And so, I help other pastors out, and they don't even know it. But I hold those men accountable. This approach of attacking pornography addiction can be applied to any sin that needs to be killed. Attack the supply line of that pornography and make it difficult to access. Technology has taken care of the problem and placed the bait just a click away. You can, the use of pornography due to mainly accessibility is your problem. It used to be that you'd have to go to a store and a friend's home or someone else. And now, a friend is something that's affordable, that it's in every home. It's sad. Even our children can be exposed to it. Men can come and have porn problems, and it's an epidemic out there. But the line of attack is very simple. Kill your ability to get your eyes on porn. To start, we take every electronic piece of equipment that we own, and we create access limits during the times of the day or days of the week that we've been susceptible to this moral failure. We cut off the path to sin, usually that prevents us from walking into sin. Only two allies that have screen time that we can install these passcodes. We check in a week and supply lines that are holding that we celebrate, and notice that as we put these limits and install these passcodes, where no one can get in and look at the pornography on their electronic devices. I tell you, we can help men turn smartphones into dumb phones and the highest powered laptops into strictly workplaces that allow our texting, our emailing, our calling, our calendaring, and our directional apps. That's all that it will be about when we get done cutting off the path to sin that prevents you from walking in the direction of pornography or whatever else that you're allured to look at on your electronic devices. You can attack those supply lines without impeding your life as a student, as a worker, as a dad, as a mom, as an employer, as a friend, as you discover in the resolution of these seven, a ton of time that has been swallowed up by sin and shame that can now be redeemed for God's glory and for your good. Quit wasting your energy on all of these seven things, amen, that the Lord hates, amen. Here, as we look at the pornography images that are out there that are digital, that it, you can attack that supply line and have a great shot at victory over all of that porn, amen. You may need to set limits on your TV. Smart TVs that can lock kids and adults out of the channels that you don't want to head down. That's the super plan for preemptive strikes as well. Because in Proverbs 7, we find the story of a young man that gets involved with a married woman, reaping all the short-lived moments of satisfaction. But early in the story, we see that he took the path toward her home. And that's where the battle was lost. He should have never have gone down that path. It was too much pressure. Cutting off a path to sin usually prevents us from walking into sin. And you, church tonight, Facebook, sermon audio, People's Valley, you can do this. Preemptive strikes actually work. For anything that's killing you and needs to be killed, apply this same approach. If you have a credit card weakness, leave it at home. Cut it in half. Melt it, but don't have it handy ever. If you're trying to curb your appetite, get healthy or lose weight, don't have the kinds of foods in your kitchen that tempt you to overindulge. If wine, beer, and all of the other stuff, drugs that you have available, get them out of easy reach and find those trigger points or trigger people and remove them as much as possible. Because if social media is devouring all of your time, put limits on your electronics so that this will stop and prevent it. If you're struggling with people-pleasing, jealousy, ungrateful pride, selfish righteousness, there's ways to put these to death. But let me share a decision that one man made to deal with his habitual lying. He was so convicted by God that what was coming out of his mouth was inflated, twisted, that he resolved to kill his lying sin by confessing it immediately. I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, that there's so many people out there that can lie and look at you and never beat an eye. Man, they're probably in the members of your family. But I'm going to tell you, in time, you can kill the sin of lying. You can kill every sin that comes at you. Having the right friends is a strategic piece to make this happen. But resolution four, as every one of us go through life today, every one of us, you've got to learn how to kill sin is what I'm trying to say. You kill sin, you find friends who can help you get a win, amen. Because with God's grace, courage, and the right support, you can put anything to death that's killing you tonight. And so, the three weaponries for killing sin of these seven things out of the book of Proverbs chapter 6, amen. The resolution to kill sin is expose it. Number two, attack it. But lastly, number three, overwhelm it. These six things do the Lord hate, yea, seven are the abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, your life is finite. We all have a limited number of hours in a day, a certain amount of energy to expend, and capacity limits on friends that we have and money that we could spend and life that has its limits. It's the same way with sin. If a day in your life is like a 55-gallon drum that contains your day, you have 55 gallons of something to put it in. Do you hear me? And the way to deal with sin is to overwhelm it with the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah, praise the name. Boy, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, as we go through life today, We can go through these moments that we can overcome. The battle can be lost at any moment. But we've never gone that down the path that we can go down the wrong way, praise God. But the way to kill sin proactively is to fill up that 55 gallons, if needed, in the Spirit and leave no room for sin to come into the 55-gallon barrel. That's exactly what God is prescribing here tonight with the three weaponries for killing sin. That's exactly what he's talking about in Galatians when he says, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, when he says, live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The bottom line, listen, let the Holy Spirit's filling defeat your sin's cravings. Sometimes we're so fixated on not sinning that we never get on with living. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is about raising the cells of your soul and letting God fill them. It's about saturating yourself so much with the good stuff of God that the bad stuff has no place to grow, praise God. Joining God in a spiritual discipline is the fuel that the Holy Spirit uses to give you that anointing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. He is here. He delights in helping you do. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the most supernatural thing that's possible to overwhelm this sin-wrecked world and show up with heaven hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. One of these days, hopefully you want to hear that when you cross over into the threshold of heaven. But I tell you, you want to hear it, amen. We come alive in the power of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been feared and exploited and diminished and deplatformed and worse, deeper personalized. But when we're full of the Spirit, we're mindful of what He's saying, doing in our life. The Holy Spirit allows us to starve sin of the attention that it gives, amen. We can be filled with the Spirit by memorizing the liberating truth, singing the songs of Zion that ignite our souls and lift it up, participate in Bible studies, help us to meet with God in His Word, hanging out with people that are on the same path, being mindful of the Holy Spirit's voice because He's always speaking every day, giving directions, amen, guiding us, holding our hand. Boy, I thank God, all of us as we go through life, amen. We got to focus on what can truly satisfy us. Each time we choose God instead of food, our stronghold loses a bit of its power over us. Victory over our enemy takes time as we repetitively choose God over anything else that promises to satisfy. The best spiritual defense is a good offense. If I fill my workplace with words of affirmation, there's less room for a critical spirit. If I fill my stomach with good food, I have less food for junk food, spiritual food, nourishment. If I fill my heart with hope, my mouth speaks words of encouragement. Praise His holy name. Amen. And so, if I fill my mind with truth, I have less room for believing lies. If I fill up with the Spirit, that 55-gallon drum, I'm bound to starve sin to death. And so, when we look at the three weaponries for killing sin, and as the application that we apply of how to kill sin, we expose it, bring that sin to mind that needs to die, courageously face it. Now you have two practical ways to make it. You confess it to God and come into agreement with Him that you have this in your life and it has to go. What did I say when you expose it? Two things that you practice. Confess it to God and come into agreement with Him that you have this in your life and it has to go. So you, number one, as you expose it, you confess it. Number two, you call a trusted friend. You call a trusted pastor. You call a trusted mentor. And you confess this sin as well to them. And bring this into the light will bring you unexpected relief. Amen. I believe. And so you expose it. You confess it. Come into agreement. You call a trusted friend. Amen. Secondly, you attack it. Taking extreme measures to kill what's killing you. Remember that limited access is one of the most practical ways to starve the supply lines of sin. Write down as you attack it. Your strategy is write down a strategy to make this sin less acceptable. Amen. Oh, I've got to put some things on my electronic devices. I need to write some scriptures down. List the people, list the places, list the things. As my brother Darrell always tell me, it's people, places, and things is what he's always told me when he overcome the addiction of drugs and alcohol. And brother Darrell always said, it's people, places, and things. Make a list of the people, places, and things that need to be cut off in your life. That's how you attack it. And so you expose it. You attack it. the application of how you kill sin, the three weaponries for killing it. Number three, you overwhelm it. It's time to fill your life with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You overwhelm it. You give God more of your life so sin has less room to run and grow. So how do you overwhelm it? First of all, you memorize the promises about the faithfulness to God. Amen. Secondly, fill your mouth with the songs that produce praise. Thirdly, invite God to read along with you as you're in the Scriptures. And then listen to the Holy Spirit and keep the conversation going. Then surround yourself with people who are passionate to kill sin. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Father, thank you for these three weaponries for killing sin. Our resolution in our life is we're going to kill sin. We've got to kill sin or it will kill us. Lord, we know the weapons of our warfare. God's Word is a sword. God's Word is our primary weapon. And God's Word is listed in the context of the battle of armor in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Help us, Father. Give us power from on high. Lord, give us an opportunity to speak the gospel to a lost sinner. And Lord, to lead them to Jesus Christ. It's you that will save them. You said, Lord, that Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There wasn't no doubt about it. Now, Lord, I pray, thank you for this message, these three weaponries for killing sin. And I pray, God, that as we close out, help us to be more like you in everything that we do, Father. That as we apply and expose it, Lord, that we confess it to God. Come into agreement, Lord. We call a trusted friend, a pastor, a mentor, and confess that sin as well. And bring this into the light, Lord, to them. We attack it. And Lord, as we do, we kill that sin. We write down a strategy to make that less accessible through our electronic devices, Lord. We list people, places, and things that need to be cut off, Father. And then, Lord, I thank God that we overwhelm it, Father. To fill our life with the Holy Spirit of God, we overwhelm it and give God more of our life so that sin has less room to run and to grow by memorizing all of the promises and the faithfulness of God through the Scripture. Fill our mouth with songs that produce praise. Invite God to read along with us in the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit and keep a conversation going. And surround yourself with people who are passionate to kill sin in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen.